I'd like to read to you this morning, encourage you to turn with me in your Bibles if you have them, to 1 Peter chapter 1. A portion of scripture that's on my mind this morning begins at verse 18 of 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll probably read down through a portion of chapter 2 of the book of 1 Peter. Please pray for me as I stand before you. Appreciate the prayer of Brother Charles. I believe the Lord blessed him in the words that he was given of the Lord. I pray that he gives you a heart to pray for yourselves and for me this morning, that the Lord would bless us together as we look for a little while at a portion of his word. Beginning at verse 18 of 1 Peter chapter 1, we read, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth, falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, and all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." Whole lot of wonderful information provided to us there in that passage from the writings of the Apostle Peter as he was moved by inspiration of God to pen these things down for us. Looking at chapter 2, he said, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice." He's laying out the idea and the thought that God's little children have had a great blessing done for them. That they have been brought out of a state that they were in, that they did not and could not have, they did not have any ability and could not and would not have any ability to get themselves out from that condition. And that was a state of death in trespasses and in sins. And that before anything can happen, or you desire to have anything happen in your life in a way to follow the Lord, there has to be a work of grace in your life that changes you from what you were by nature to what you become as a little child of God once you're born of the Spirit of God. And then the responsibility comes to us as God's little children, that the life that He has given us now, that we did not know anything about and would never have known anything about, but as the recipients of His grace, we have been so abundantly, richly blessed with the grace and the mercy and the love and all that comes in the work of the new birth and all that comes in God's election and God's foreknowledge and God's predestination and God's calling and God's justification and eventually in God's glorification, that's going to take place, has taken place, some of it, and is going to take place. All of that has come to us by the wonderful and miraculous grace and the mercy of Almighty God. And our lives today, as we live this morning and go through our lives day in and day out, is altogether different because of what the Lord has done. And so many times we as God's children, we forget that. It's a reality whether we didn't do anything to get in it. We didn't do anything to get ourselves elected. We didn't have to run for this office. As a brother said many years ago, the election's over and the polls are closed. The Lord made choice of His people before the very foundation of the world. Nobody today is choosing for themselves to serve the Lord, but those that the Lord has already chosen in covenant before the foundation of the world. They're the only ones that have the wisdom, the only one who have the interest, the only ones who have the hunger, the only ones who have the thirst, the only ones that can act like newborn babes are those who have actually been born again by the Spirit of Almighty God. But then once you're born again, you got a battle to fight in your life. And so much about the New Testament is telling us not how to get to heaven, but how to fight that battle. It tells us how we will get to heaven. But it isn't. Some people said this Bible is a roadmap to get you to heaven. Well, it's a roadmap maybe to tell you that you're going to heaven and how it is that you'll go there if you do have an ear to hear it, an eye to see it, and a heart to understand it. That's an evidence that you are one that this Bible speaks of, that God foreknew and that God predestinated and that God elected and that God called and that God justified when He died on the cross and that He will eventually glorify. But none of this Bible has anything to do with you getting into that. It just tells you about that which has been done for you. And it's much of it though, in a majority of it, and especially the New Testament, is telling you and me how to get along, sojourn in this world, how to tarry, how to occupy, how to live, how to act, how to talk, how to behave, what to do, what not to do, who you're obligated to, who you're not obligated to, who is the most important one that you're to put above all others, what are your priorities, what comes first. It lays it out in very clear and plain language, and we are at a place that the Lord has put His name and His blessing upon the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to rejoice in the very fact that we can gather together as we have today and stand and open this Bible, and by the inspiration of God, it's been given to us and preserved for us, and then we can be taught in a world with all kinds of information. Listen, it's not hard to get a lot of people to tell you what to do today. Oh, you can turn on the channels, you can go on the computer, you can get so much misinformation. You can't tell what's true and what's not. Whatever you want to believe, plug it in. It'll pop up. There'll be a group of people holding on to that, believing that. Even if it came out of your old head right there, you think, I'm the only one who thinks like that. No, I'm telling you, all that misinformation comes out of our nature. Peter said it this way, you have this thing, what you have from your... He says, there's nothing that can save you. And you are not delivered by silver and gold. Most of the time men do what for silver and gold? They'll fight wars for silver and gold. They'll knock you in the head for silver and gold. They'll kill all you and all your family for silver and gold. The nations have been destroyed just for silver and gold. Lives have been destroyed. Men seeking after silver and gold. It didn't say silver and gold itself was bad, but the love of it is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. And men and God's little children can get wrapped up in that. I want you to know, you and I have never been washed at all or cleansed at all by silver and gold. The Bible calls silver and gold, compared to the blood of Jesus, silver and gold is a corruptible thing. That means it's rotten away. It's wearing out. It's and you know, one day when the Lord returns, this old earth is going to melt with a fervent heat. And the elements, you know what some of the elements are? Silver is one of them and gold is another. And they're going to melt. I don't know what all that means, but I'm telling you, God's given them to us. They're here for a little while. You won't need them after a while because they are corruptible things. That tells me the silver and the gold that's in this earth that's corruptible is not going to be a part of that which is in heaven. I'm telling you, what we have in heaven is going to be without any spot or without any blemish. You and I were not washed with silver and gold. It can't buy your way in. You can't spend enough money to get right with God. You can't do enough of any good thing. Doesn't mean we ought not be willing to give it away. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And when God's little children cast their bread upon the waters, which means you give what's needed, it'll come back in many ways. Have you found that? Oh, I know. Some people say, well, you give this much, you'll get that much. God is not in a business plan, but I'm telling you what He is. He will take care of His children. When we're willing to cast everything we have, like a little widow took her last mite and she cast that in, and Jesus watching that and saw all of them giving. And let me tell you, when Jesus sees one giving, He doesn't just see, He knows why they give, He knows what they give, He knows what they have. He said, this little woman has done more than them all. And you know why? Because she had given all that she had. And it wasn't about the money. It wasn't about that. It was that her willingness to serve God in the way He was leading her to do. She was willing to do what that young rich ruler wasn't willing to do, to sell all that she had and give it to the poor and come and follow the Lord. Have you found that in following the Lord, there's treasures untold. You can't imagine and embrace all the goodness that the Lord provides for His little children. And it's already provided. You know, it isn't like you do it and He gives it to you. It's already there. It's just you come and dine. You sit down at the table. Slide up like little Mephibosheth, even though you're lame in both feet. Sit down at the king's table and eat all the rest of the days of your life. Why? Because for Jesus' sake, the Lord's provided that for you, His child. And if He's awakened you to this, He's telling you there's a wherefore. That you're to live your life differently. Listen, we ought to act differently. We ought to talk differently. We ought to go to different places. We ought to act different ways. We ought not be a part of this or that. Somebody said, but salvation's of the Lord. Will it matter? You better believe it'll matter, because it will war against your soul. The lust of the flesh will war against your soul. And though you might be thinking, oh, I'm having a great time, I'm telling you, at night you're going to toss and you're going to turn and you're going to have many weary, weepy hours. And if you sow to the flesh, will of the flesh do what? Will reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, you might be in trouble when you do it. You might, somebody say, well, you're just giving everything. You're just acting silly. That's not going to get you very far. If you want to get along in this world, you better do this and that. You hear it all the time, don't you? Don't compromise what God says in His Word for anybody. It may get you through that moment a little better, but I'm telling you, many other moments are coming. And there's one who loves you enough and loves me enough to die for us on the cross. Do you think that good father or that good parent is going to do anything but hold us as his children accountable for how we act and we behave? I'm not talking about an eternal judgment, but I'm talking about a timely chastisement, a timely judgment that comes in the lives of God's little children. I have many regrets when I haven't listened and followed him. Do you? I do. I have many regrets. I can't fix those. I'm thankful for the grace of God, aren't you? I'm thankful for God's grace. And today is a new day God has given me.
And wherefore, I want to live it different. Wherefore, I want to be better. Wherefore, because He's done so much for me, I want to do what He said, and He's given me in His Word so much that I want to do, so that there are things that I have messed up on and done. Let me say about this about that. Don't let those things continue to weigh you down. Jesus paid for them. You've been washed in His blood. If you've come and said, God, forgive me for that, believe me, He's faithful and just to forgive us from all of our sins and all of our trespasses, and He's paid for them on the tree of the cross. Don't carry them around weighing you down in this world, but also don't go lay back down in them. As He told that little woman, he said, woman, where are thine accusers? And she said, no man, Lord. He said, neither do I condemn thee. But He didn't stop there. He said, go and sin no more. Now, how in the world am I going to do that? How are you going to do that? If you try to do it on your own, you think you're going to get it done? Like sometimes you hear, how's that working for you? Is that turning out pretty good? Is that getting along? Have you tried that a while? I'm telling you today, if we're going to act right, it's going to be by the grace of God. That same grace that has initially worked in our lives can work in our lives this morning as we look to Him. By the grace of God, He'll give you the strength not to say what's in your head. He'll give you the strength to forgive you what's in your head. He'll give you the strength to think differently. He'll give you the ability, if you go to His Word and look at His Word by His grace, He'll fill your head with the good things that they ought to be and help you keep under that old man and that old woman that is in our nature because of the fall that we inherited from our good parents and their good parents. I'm saying why they're good. We see them as good because they were sweet, wonderful people. But I'm telling you, without the grace of God, there's none good, no, not one. And from our very, we have inherited all of this. It's come through the bloodline. I can say, well, it's Oots in me. You can call it whatever you want in you. Y'all probably already know what name it is. You know which side you get that from. I get that from my mama. I get that from my daddy. I get that from my grandma. Oh, quit smiling, Leah. I get that behavior. I get that. See, that's a problem. That old nature is a fallen nature. That thinking is a broken thinking. That heart is a hard, deceitful heart that's thinking more about themselves and himself than or herself than anyone else. And you and I, though we're born of His Spirit and given a new nature, we have an old nature that the Bible so very clearly tells us we're to put off. We're to put off that old man with his deeds. And we're to put on the new man. Thank God for the new man. Thank God that He has worked in us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are not your own. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, he says, you are not your own. You are bought with a price. And I'm telling you, that price wasn't just any price. It took the very blood of Jesus to give us a hope of one day being with Him in heaven. Do you one day hope to be with Him in heaven? I believe you do. It takes the blood of Jesus for you and I to have that, to even have a hope of it. It takes the blood of Jesus for you and I to act and behave today the way we're supposed to. It's the blood of Jesus that will allow you to be, if you're a husband, the husband you're supposed to be, or a wife, the wife she's supposed to be, or the children they're supposed to be, because you don't have it from your family line. What you have from a family line is what he said here. You received your vain conversation in verse 18. He says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from what? Your vain conversation, which is, that word simply means your empty lifestyle. That's what he's talking about. And that's what this world is without the Lord. It's just an empty lifestyle. You can get everything the world offers. You can get all the honor and fame that the world holds. You can have all the money that the world has and have all the land and the houses. You can be a king in this world and rule and over everyone. You can be like the rich man that poor Lazarus laid at his door and have all those things in this world. But what an empty life it is.
if you don't have fellowship with the living God, if you don't have communion with His Son, if you don't have any peace in your heart because of the Holy Spirit, and you do not have the fruit of the Spirit. Listen, if you've got the fruit of the Spirit today, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness, faith, those things, if you have that, you are richer than the richest man with all the silver and gold, because those are corruptible things, and one day they'll be gone. All those other fruit, I believe we'll enjoy those fruit. Listen, that's something we got now that we're going to have in heaven. A whole lot of things we got down here you won't need in heaven. You won't be worrying about in heaven. Won't have no SOL tests in heaven. No, none of them. There, you won't have to worry about did they get it or did they not get it. You won't have to worry. No cancer in heaven. Isn't that good? No coffins up there. No one sick. Won't need eyeglasses, false teeth. Won't need any of those things that down here come in mighty handy. But up there, you don't need them. You don't need them. And I'm telling you, what you need here in this world, He's the one who's provided that. He's the one who's provided our daily bread. He's the one who's given us our homes. He's the one who's protected our lives. He's the one, by His grace, who has been with us in so many wonderful ways. But if you have just everything that's in this world and you have hope, even in Christ, in this life only, the Bible says you are of all men most miserable. If you can have one moment of joy where you feel the presence of the Lord. And we've had our lives filled with Him, haven't we? We sat down last night at Cracker Barrel and just laughed. I laughed so hard my eyes watered. And it's good to just cry, you know. I won't tell you all about what I was laughing about, but it was a good fellowship among brethren. I was sitting with my brothers and my sisters. They were my brothers and sisters by the natural ties of life, but they were my brothers and my sisters by the spiritual relationship I have with a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have a love for you today, brethren, and a love for others of God's children that is not based on anything that came out of me or the Utz family or the Shepherd family, the other half of me. All of that mess gave me an empty lifestyle. And he and she and all of that that's in me pops out every once in a while. I got a lot of behaviors. I look in the mirror some days and I go, "Hello, Daddy." And I'm looking at myself. And I remember some of the looks I used to see him give that I'd say, "Oh, I wish he didn't give that." And now here I am giving them. And all of those things that came in this and that. But there are so many good things. I remember godly conversations. I remember hearing preaching over the phone and on the road. I remember things that I'm going to hold and cherish. Not all the other stuff. Listen, we all have a lot of other stuff. But if you have anything other than just the other stuff, if you have the spiritual joy and peace and faith and love, you have that in your family, you thank God for it, because you couldn't have produced it. You couldn't have made it happen. It had to come by His grace. And in heaven, we'll have just that and won't have all that other mess. And while we're here, we want to try to keep that other mess as under as we can. And we can only do that by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, who works in us so that you and I will walk and act and talk and look like His children, not like the world. Remember this, Jesus is a friend on every trip you take. Jesus is in the car when you get in it, going down the road. Jesus is on the is where you're at when you go out at night. Jesus is there when you go to bed. He's there when you get up in the morning. He is that one who's loved you so much that every sin you ever committed, He was willing to take them in His own body and bear them on the tree of the cross. I'll tell you, of all the pain and the agony that He bore on the cross, probably none were any more weighty than Him being without sin completely, taking that in His own body. Does sin weigh you down? And we've borne it all our lives, haven't we? Do you know He never knew a sin until they were put on His back? He never knew the effects or the weight of that until He bore them at Calvary. No wonder He said, "If it be possible, let this cup." The cup of what? The cup of what happened at the cross. The baptism He was baptized with was that our sins were placed upon Him. He was every sin we'd ever committed. He took them in His own body. That perfect body. No other perfect man. No one else. Listen, we weren't redeemed with blood that was spotted or polluted, were we? It was with the
It wasn't like silver. Somebody said better than silver and gold. Oh, listen, that's corruptible things. He said were we redeemed by? He said with the precious blood of Christ. Oh, the blood of Christ ought to make me want to live different today. It should make you want to live different today. Make me want to act different, talk different, go to different places, behave in different ways. Some people say, well, you know, you don't have to worry about this and that as long as you do this and that. But I'm telling you, God's little children from the heart, if the Lord is moved in your heart, we are not worried about God casting us away. We're thinking about how good He's been. I hope you are. That'll motivate you to serve Him. How good He's been. How forgiving He's been. How much He's done for me. And therefore, there's a wherefore. I want to act different. And He says to do this. He said, lay aside. We got some things to lay aside. We don't like to lay aside nothing. We like being who we are. I like it my way. You ask my family. He wants it His way. Even when I try not to want it my way, I end up wanting it my way. Got to be my way. Well, my way's okay when it's not my way, it's His way, when I follow Him. But when it becomes just my way, I got some things to lay aside, don't I? By the way, so do each and every one of us. Started to say so do you. It sounds better when you say so does each and every one of us. But that means so do you. We have some things to lay aside. He said, wherefore, laying aside all malice. That means a desire to hurt someone. A desire to cause pain. To do something just straight out in a way that you know that's going to hurt. Have you ever seen husbands and wives start battling with one another and do you say things when you're in a battle that's going to make them feel good? Or do you say things that you know, oh, I know them so well, I can just say this, and it don't sound so bad, but I can say it just like that, and that goes, bing, get them. Just get them. The next thing you know, you got that bing, 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 and you got a battle in a home, and the old devil's smiling, and there's no joy and peace. Who, in a Christian home? Absolutely. In a home where the Lord ought to be head? Yes. Because our eyes get off the Lord and it gets on us and we get that old vain conversation, that empty lifestyle that we've learned from mama and daddy. You know where you got that from? Got it from your mama and your daddy. It came through the bloodline. We were shapen in iniquity. We were conceived in sin. And in the 51st Psalm, David prays, Lord, Lord, forgive me. I was shapen in iniquity. I was conceived in sin. And if it were not for the grace of God, we wouldn't have anything but beings for one another. I'm saying to you, we don't have to do that. By the grace, now, can you do it on your own? Try it. It won't work. Don't try it. Because the only way we can act like we're supposed to act is by the grace of God. Have you had in your life, I know you have, experience where God has kept you from saying things that you really wanted to say, and He's just said, don't do that. And you knew in your heart you wasn't going to do it. And you wanted to do it so bad because you just had that nature that wants to lay them out. And you said, boy, they need it. They deserve it. Sometimes we've even got the old flesh up so much you think, well, I really told them off good. I really got that straight. I've been like that before and get down to my room after I done told somebody off and sit there and think, oh, why did I do that? Why can't I just keep quiet? Why? And there's times to speak, but you be careful what you say. Taste your words. I saw that last night at Cracker Barrel. Might not get it all, but taste your words before you speak. What is it? Because you might have to eat them or something. I don't remember exactly right. But I'm telling you, we need to consider what I'm saying. Is it pleasing? If you tried with this, is this pleasing to the Lord? That should be the measure. Is this what He would have me to say? Is this what He would have me to... Is this where He would have me to stand? If it is, you get an affirmative on that, you get a yes on that, then you say it. You say it with the love that He's given you and the surety that He's given you and the boldness that He's given you. He never called us to be weak. He's called us to be meek. And there's a big difference, isn't it, between weak and meek. I wish the world would learn that. Some people think meekness and humility is a weakness. I'm telling you, meekness and humility is powerful. Because you get a little meek, humble brother looking to the Lord, you got a powerful entity. You got a Daniel there who can stand against any king. You got one of the Old Testament Elijahs or Elisha. You got the apostles. You got the very picture, the greatest picture is the meek and lowly Lamb of God. I'm telling you what, you don't want to get in Jesus' way. Because when he speaks, he has no trouble. He speaks and instead, listen, he created the heavens and the earth by his voice. He says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile. Guile is trickery. Boy, is this world full of trickery. You get trickery everywhere. You get trickery in politics. You get trickery everywhere. There's all kinds of tricks. And when trickery gets in religion, you really got a mess. You got all kinds of trickery. People tricking people. Tricking. I don't want to ever come before God's little children and trick them. If I mislead you, may God bless me to be willing to correct that, and may it never be coming because I wanted to or I desired to or that was my intent. There has been times that I have misled God's little children. I'm sorry to say that. There have been times in my best efforts I may have misled or mistaught or made mistakes. But I should at that point repent and ask their forgiveness. It should never be my intent to trick them. I'm telling you, men fill pulpits today and arenas, and their whole intent is to do some trickery. It's the intent. It's to fleece the flock, not feed the flock. It's not to help them. It's to scatter them. Their intent. The wolf is there to what? To rob and to steal. That's what he is. He's climbed up some other way. And our way to come in is to do what? We want to preach and teach the truth. And that truth is the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation only by and through what he has done. And that salvation is not only eternal, but it's every day in our lives. We have salvation and grace sufficient for the hour and for the moment to help us be what we ought to be. And sometimes our lives gets a little trickery in there. You ever get a little trickery? If I say this, I think they'll do that. Or I can get it done this way. He said, you lay aside that. You know where that's coming from? Somebody said, where is it coming from? Well, we've already said where it comes from. It comes from our nature. Somebody said, I don't believe I've got that in me. Well, you check it real good, because the Bible says you do. I believe what the Bible says, don't you? He says, we're to mortify, in Colossians chapter 3, he says to mortify your members, which means put to death. That means put the old man off. That means everything that you see, the ugliness in this world, you'll see in someone else. Don't think for a minute that's not in you. Don't think that can't rise up in you. Don't think for a minute you can't be caught with that or be involved with that. See, the devil loves to trick us with that thought. That means we have to be aware. You keep that under. You keep that old flesh in subjection. You keep that old man under. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies. Hypocrisy is where you act like what you're not, or where you try to say you believe something you don't. It's where you try to be something you're not. Sometimes we as God's children, we just kind of want to fit in, don't we? We get in a crowd. We just kind of want to fit in. So the next thing you know, we find ourselves doing a whole lot of things we'd have never done. Yeah, that's why the old adage of birds of a feather flock together, you need to be careful where you're going and what you're doing and how you're behaving. Because the next thing you know, you'll be involved in that and you'll be acting in a way that you really are not. Listen, and that's also true when we come to the house of God. It's important that we say, Lord, please keep my mind and heart focused on Thee. That's what that hymn writer was talking about when he wrote, or she wrote, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart, take and seal it. Seal it for Thy courts above. We need to understand how easy, but for a piece of bread we can transgress, so that we're faithful to the Lord. He says, lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies. Oh, does envy get in there sometimes? Absolutely. Envy over anything. Preacher envy has destroyed many a church and many a congregation. Memberships get envious. Families can get envious. We have it all around us. Where does that come from? Well, it's in us. We're going to lay it aside. And all evil speakings, be careful what comes out of that old unruly member, the tongue.
And then go to the second verse, and we'll close with that. I know I read a lot of verses. But all of what's in the front and all of what's in the back fits with what's in the middle. Isn't that good about the Bible? It all fits together. As newborn babes, hear that? Newborn babes. A newborn babe is like an empty slate. Everything's new. Everything's fresh. That means as a new creature, you used to talk like this, but you shouldn't do that. I'm putting that off. Now I'm talking like this. Why? I'm going to be a newborn babe. As a new, and not be, you don't choose to be that. In order to be a newborn babe, you got to be born again, right? That birth comes from where? We've already been told. He says, being born again in verse 23, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. How? By the Word of God. And it's not this Bible, it's the Word of God which liveth. That's the living Word of God. That's Jesus Christ, and abideth forever. It's the Bible teaches us, the written Word tells us about the living Word, but it's the living Word that borns you again. The written Word tells you about the living Word and how you got the life from the living Word. And that birth comes from above, and it's not the work of the flesh or the will of man, but it's of God. We're born from above. And he said, but the Word of the Lord endureth forever. That's Jesus. And this is the Word that which by the gospel is preached unto you. See, I'm preaching to you about the Word. That's Jesus Christ. And that's how you're born. Now, as a newborn babe, what are you to do? Desire the sincere milk of the Word. You let this Bible, it's my guide. It's my lamp. It tells me how to act. It tells me how to talk. I need to come to it. I need to go where it's being preached and where it's being taught. I need to be where the ordinances show what the Word is teaching in the way that the Bible tells us. I need to be a part of the communion. I need to be a part of baptism. I need to do those things He's taught me in His Word. And I should do it as a newborn babe. No, it's not the old me, because the old me, you're dead to sin. Get that. You're dead to sin. What does that mean? That means sin doesn't have any dominion? No. It means the power of it, though, is not what it used to be. And you have a new, you don't have to live under its rule and its authority. You've been made a king, which is an overcomer. And you've been made a priest, which is one who can give sacrifice and thanksgiving to God. You've been given the ability to do what you could not do before. You have, by the grace of God, as a newborn babe. It didn't say get to be a newborn babe. It says as a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. And that's what we want to do as God's little children. We want to grow. I hope we're growing. I hope you're growing. Pastor loves to see a church growing. And there are a whole lot of applications to that. I'm not talking about the numbers here grow. I'd be happy to see many. I would love to see the house full of those that are truly hungering and thirsting after the truth. But if we had just a house full of anything, that wouldn't be a blessing at all. Some people say, well, wouldn't you be happy if it just filled up? Well, it depends on what it fills up with. If it's those that God brings and God adds, I'd be happy to see them all. I'd love to see every little child of grace eating of this and drinking and feeding of this. And I do believe there are many, many others out there who could enjoy this, that should come, and I would love to see them come. Oh, what a blessing that is. To see one of God's little children that's already a newborn babe come hungering after this. But then your desires for what? The sincere milk of the Word. I'm already over time. The sincere milk of the Word. That's the pure milk of the Word. That means to preach the truth. The simplicity of the truth. That's the fundamentals of the truth. Salvation by grace and how it's done. What He has done for you. And then as you hear that, you grow. So that your life becomes different. You can't shine as a light without knowing some of the truth in order to walk in it to shine that light. You can't carry a light when your life is darkness. As a little child of God, you've been brought out of the darkness into the light, but then you have to let your light so shine before other men that the others may see your good works. How do you know what's good works? From the Word. And glory, and do that for how? For your own glory? No, but glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So if you have any good thing, you give God the glory and the honor and the praise. Your attention has been wonderful this morning. I appreciate it. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.
Tracy wants number 43.
43?
grace he wants.
Have you looked at it?